Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. It's official. Bears need a new DC. Vic Fangio introduced in Denver as the Broncos' brand new head football coach. So who replaces him here in the Windy City? Will the defense suffer without their old coordinator? Are the players too good to struggle? Meanwhile, the NFL playoffs roll on despite the Bears' absence. Will Nick Foles continue his magic in New Orleans? Can the Colts pull off another upset on the road? And are the Patriots a lock to return yet again to the AFC title game?
And you can thank George. I talked to George yesterday, and I said to him, George, can I do the press conference tomorrow in my gray sweats? He calls it my gray business suit. He said, no, you can't do that. So he gave me this tie to wear. So this tie is compliments of George McCaskey and the Chicago Bears.
There you go. Vic Fangio, new head coach in Denver. Welcome into Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. I'm David Kaplan. I hope you had a good day. Let's meet the panel for today's show. He is veteran, funny man, and sportsman. He's our guy, HT, Harry Tynowitz. He is the brainchild of Pro Football Weekly, and you catch him on The Score. He's the great Hub Arkush, and he is a longtime Score guy, a longtime fixture around town on sports. He's my man, David Schuster. All right, who replaces Vic Fangio? Where do the Bears turn to get a brand-new defensive coordinator, knowing they're going to have one of the best groups of players? Hub, this guy's a really good football coach. Good luck to him as a head man. Where do they go?
I'm trying to figure out if Vic didn't own a tie or he just chose to wear the tie that George gave him.
Right.
You know, obviously the options are multiple. I think it should start with Ed Donatell, a good look in-house. He's been a coordinator in three other cities with some success. Also did a fantastic job with the secondary this year. And I think where this team is at right now, last year it might have been disastrous if Fangio had left. Now Nagy, with the year under his belt, the success of this defense, the talent, all the Pro Bowlers, they're going to be fine with another qualified coach. But if you start losing the position coaches too, for instance, with Donatell, the Bears didn't play a lot of man-to-man this year. Now, if they would have gotten a Todd Bowles or somebody like that who wanted to play more man, that secondary coach becomes very important. If Donatell doesn't get the position, then you're hard-pressed to see him staying to coach the secondary as well. So now you're talking about a coordinator with some experience who can bring in a staff of assistants with him. Jay Rogers is the other guy on the Bears staff, the defensive line coach, who is highly thought of and might be getting a look for the job. And if it's not in-house, then you got to start with the veterans, the retreads. Chuck Pagano wants to work. We know Greg Williams still wants to work. Steve Wilks would be an excellent choice. You want to be careful to say you don't want somebody because then they bring them in and then you're stuck with it. Let me just say that Vance Joseph is not as qualified as the other three that I just mentioned.
And Rex Ryan's name is also out there that he wants to coach again. You're not high on that opportunity, right?
I'm not high, A, on Rex coaching again, and B, on him being a good fit with the Bears. He would come in and instantly be bigger than Nagy, bigger than Trubisky. That's not what this team needs.
Well, first of all, congrats to Fangio because he's put in his dues. 30-some-plus years as an assistant coach. Never has been a head coach at any level, so it's going to be interesting to see how he adapts to that position. That's number one. I think the Bears' defense is going to be just fine. I think it starts with the personnel. This team is loaded, and I think it's only going to get better. They have, in my estimation, the best linebacking quartet now in the NFL, and a couple of those guys are only going to get better and better. Obviously, Khalil Mack is the MVP of that defense going forward. Now, there is a precedent, obviously, when Buddy left in 05 and Vince Tobin took over in 06, and actually, statistically, correct me if I'm wrong, Hub, they were actually better
in
06.
Fewer points allowed.
But they were not the same defense because they didn't pressure the quarterback, and they just didn't have that, breakout to get to the quarterback. So we'll see. I'm sure the new guy will come in. He'll have somewhat different philosophies, whoever that may be. But I think the personnel is so good, I think they'll be fine.
From the bars I was at, we used to call him Vanilla Vince. Did not attack the way that we wanted him to. So I think that there's like a couple of really good choices that are obvious. Greg Williams, who has ties with Ryan Pace, as long as there are no bounties involved, I think Greg Williams would be a really good choice. Strong year for Cleveland. Steve Wilks, of course, has Bears coaching experience. Why did Greg Schiano leave Ohio State to go to the NFL, right? He's got an agent in Chicago. I mean, there's, Greg Williams, Greg Schiano, as long as it's a Greg.
I'll tell you the problem with Greg Schiano. He should be a head coach in college football. He should have gotten the Ohio State job. There are allegations against him dating back to Penn State, the Jerry Sandusky situation. As near as I can tell, they're very unfair, probably shouldn't even be mentioned, but that's the problem. Much like the Bountygate situation with Greg Williams. Greg Williams didn't do anything that most coaches in the NFL weren't doing. They just got caught, and they weren't all that truthful about it after it happened.
All right, here's our Ankin Law Sports Talk Live poll question. How much will the Bears defense suffer without Vic Fangio? A lot, a little, or not at all? Go to NBCSportsChicago.com/vote. How big a step back is this to lose a guy like this?
Again, it depends on who you replace him with. I think had it been last year, it would have been huge. This year, it's not as much of a concern. You know, there are other names out there. I keep hearing Mike Caldwell, defensive line coach with the New York Jets. He worked with Matt in Philadelphia at one point. I've had a couple people tell me to keep an eye on Al Harris, who is not on a lot of people's list, but he is the cornerbacks coach in Kansas City right now.
Former Packer.
Former Packer player. I think played with either played or coached with the Eagles. So there's plenty of guys out there. The other one that would be really fascinating, and I think there's more to it than I thought now, it looks like Chris Richard probably doesn't get a head job. Even if he's offered the Miami job, he might turn it down. Miami and Cincinnati, two awful organizations. That's why their jobs are unfilled as of the moment. If Richard doesn't get a head job, he is the passing game coordinator in Dallas. Rod Marinelli is the defensive coordinator. A step up would be defensive coordinator. The Cowboys are not obligated to let him interview for that. They've got to let him interview for head coaching jobs, so they could block it. But if the Bears were to ask permission and get it, he would be an outstanding hire. The problem is now, I don't know if you saw this, but Rod Marinelli came out today and said, if it takes this to keep Chris, I'll be the passing game coordinator and I'll let him be the defensive coordinator. So I don't think he's leaving Dallas, but it's a really good name to keep an eye on. You got to remember, guys, you've got Mike Pettine is staying in Green Bay. Todd Bowles is in Tampa. That's six other staffs being put together looking for defensive coordinators. There could be another team or two looking. The Bears can't wait too long on this. Now, they've got the best job in football for a defensive coordinator, but they better find their guy in the next 24, 48 hours, or they could be dealing with a third or fourth choice, because you know Bowles was the first choice.
You beat me to the punch when you said it's the best coordinator job right now available in football. Because of that, will they have their pick of the litter? You know, taking a look at the personnel, do these guys who are up for all these respective jobs, do they take a look at the personnel? Do they take a look at where the team is going on high, going up, you know, the totem pole? And do they, you know, obviously it comes down to money and all that kind of good stuff, but is this the most attractive job that there is available?
There's something more than money, which is if you're looking for a coordinator job, you eventually want to be a head coach. You want the best coordinator job out there, the best talent. You'd never go anywhere else but Chicago, assuming the money was even close. So, yeah, it's absolutely the number one choice. Again, depending on who they're talking to and whether they can. It looks like anybody could work with Matt Nagy, but that's part of the consideration.
What about Dom Capers? I know he's going to interview in Arizona for their job.
You know, qualified guy. I know Bears fans will cringe and hate it, and Packers fans blame him for a lot of things he's not responsible for. A very competent 3-4 football coach. Guys, there's not a lot of coaches out there who know the 3-4 who can't be successful with this talent, because David touched on the most important thing. They're going to get better. Most of these guys have not peaked yet, and they're going to continue to add more pieces. So to not want this job, and any competent coach could handle it.
You know, it's going to be interesting to see how things go in terms of this year. They got, 36 takeaways that led the league. Can they be that good in that aspect? Then again, you could say from the other side, well, Khalil Mack had no training camp, didn't train from February on as a football player till he got traded. Roquan Smith sat out and had to deal with a hamstring. Things may get better.
Things may get better. You know, takeaways can be very cyclical, guys. We've seen that. They could play better and get 60-70% of those next year. A lot of that is being in the right place at the right time, the way the ball bounces. But the defense should get better. Whether they can maintain that takeaway rate, I don't know.
Right, and Floyd had the paw wrapped for a large portion of the season. Eddie Jackson, your guy, missed some games. I mean, a healthy Bears team. I agree with Hub. Who disagrees with Hub on an NFL thing? But, you know, you could play better and not get all the takeaways. One thing Lovie knew how to do was to create takeaways. Peanut kept punching that ball free. So maybe these guys have found a way. They've got some kind of system where they're just turning the ball over and turning the ball over. But I have great confidence in the Bears defense. You know, I thought the Cubs were going to repeat in 2017. They didn't. But I think the Bears are going to repeat and, you know, win the division and be right back in the playoffs.
They should be the best team in this division going into next year, correct?
Well, they're still pretty even with Minnesota in terms of being the most talented. But I think now they may have the better quarterback. They've certainly got the better leaders on their defense. Anthony Barr is a free agent in Minnesota. That offensive line is a disaster. So they'll be the favorites, but not a runaway favorite over the Vikings. You know, I think the other thing you got to realize about those takeaways, it's more the interceptions. I think they had, what, 25 or 24?
26.
Whatever the number was, that's really unusual. And that, in large part, is because they were confusing defenses. They were playing mostly zone. And a lot of that is Vic and Ed Donatell. So this is where the change in coordinator could be noticed.
Would they be looking for another rushing defensive lineman? I don't think you can ever have enough guys who can get to the quarterback.
Well, you never have too many. They're going to look to upgrade everything. But I think the first look on defense is going to be in that secondary. You've only got three starters who are free agents, and two of them are Adrian Amos and Bryce Callahan. I think we consider the nickel, you know, corner a starter at this point. Hopefully they get one or two of them back. But even if they do, you never have enough cornerbacks. So I would think they'll look secondary first. You know, a linebacker would have to fall into their lap because it's too deep a group to make right now. Aaron Lynch is a free agent. I think he did enough that you might want him back, but you're waiting on Kylie Fitz, on Iwuniwe. You've got Isaiah Irving. They're really deep.
Okay, what about running back? Do you believe Jordan Howard is their lead guy next year, or they go get somebody else?
I think that based on what's available in free agency and the draft, he probably will be the lead guy going into training camp. I think they will try and get a different style of back, not necessarily a better back. People have asked for a bigger Tariq Cohn. Yeah, give me two of those if you can find it, you know.
But, right.
You know, it really caught me off guard. For all the problems and all the complaints, you know, he came up 50 yards short of 1,000 again. I mean, in 3 years now, there are two backs in the NFL with more yardage than him, and that's Zeke Elliott and Todd Gurley. So how much better are you going to do?
One of the most disturbing things from last weekend was Tariq Cohn getting four touches mm-hmm. on offense. I mean, you saw him on the final kick return setting them up for, you know, all kinds of glory. I don't know how they didn't, and they did such a great job of using him, unlike the year before. But Nagy did a great job of using Tariq Cohn. I don't understand, like, of all the things that happened, that and the Seahawk punter trying to do a drop kick on an onside kick were the two things that bugged me the most. But Tariq Cohn can be used not just as a receiver, he can be used as a running back.
He's a guy, Tariq Cohn, that's small. I get concerned about his long-term viability health-wise.
He can't be a feature. I mean, he can be a feature highlight package, but he can't be a guy who gets 20, 25 touches. You're risking too much. You know, Harry, you go back and look at the tape, and I think part of that, you know, we're always quick. This is why I never question play calling. I will question philosophy. I will question whether you're throwing enough, running enough. But the actual calling of plays, it's not a science. It's an art. And what the Eagles did last week was they committed to taking away two things. They committed Nigel Bradham to making sure that Mr. Trubisky did not come out of the pocket.
And Tariq Cohn.
Spied him the whole time. And they used Malcolm Jenkins to make sure that when Cohn was in the game in a receiving position, he was going to be bracketed all the time. Somebody over the top, somebody underneath. Nagy can see that. You know, he's got Mark Helfrich is up in the booth. He can see that. You're not going to call a play into the teeth of the defense. So, yeah, you could argue they forgot him. On the other hand, I think they tried to stay away from what Philly was insisting on taking away from him.
All right. Baseball hot stove has been out of wood for weeks. The offseason has ground to a halt. But we might possibly, maybe, could have a decision from Manny Machado at the earliest, we think. Who knows? And good news, Bulls fans, they lost last night in Portland. More good news, Wendell Carter Jr. looked really good. Talk about it next.
Ricky's boys don't quit, and neither does NBC Sports Chicago's coverage. Download the My Teams app by NBC Sports and get your White Sox anytime, anywhere.
Still no baseball news. Where will Manny Machado end up? Where will Bryce Harper end up? Cubs convention is a week from tomorrow. The following week will be Sox Fest. Will we have an answer on these guys? Schusti, what do you think ends up happening here? Because it sounds like Harper is going to meet with the Phillies on Saturday. There's all sorts of rumors. There's this Dominican reporter who said Yankees are out of Machado. The New York writers are like, no, they're not out. What's going on?
Well, I think ultimately with Machado, it's going to come down to money, like it will with most free agents annually. I don't think the White Sox have given him the number yet that he desires, that his agent, of course, desires. They might get to that point. I think the White Sox have done everything possible other than up the ante, literally, to sign Machado. And I think ultimately, I think they will up the ante, and then it comes down to, does he want to play here in Chicago? Now, I know for a fact that Machado has done his due diligence on the White Sox. He has, you know, asked a lot of people close to the scene, how far away are the White Sox? And in my estimation, they're another year plus away. If he's okay to sign a seven-year deal and wait one more year to be a playoff contender, then I think ultimately, if the price is right, he's going to be a White Sox.
He'd be the face of the playoff contender. With all this talent coming up, it would still be Manny's team. You know, Harper is a great hitter, but Machado's a much better fielder playing a position where the Sox have a gaping hole, third base. You bring Manny Machado here, you're helping out your team offensively, defensively, you're helping out the vibe. And it was very smart when the Cubs went out and got David Ross to, you know, entice John Lester to come here. They've gotten now Yonder Alonso, his brother-in-law, his good friend, John Jay. I hear they're close on getting his dentist.
They probably want Albert Elmora. That's his guy.
Yeah.
Probably his own reporter, too.
Right, right. But, I mean, I think there's a real chance that Machado's coming to the White Sox.
I think the problem is the Sox have done a great job with this, and they've apparently offered him the $30 to $33 million a year that he wants. But as long as the Phillies and the Dodgers and the Yankees are out there and the 10-year deal at the same rate is on the table, he's not coming to Chicago. Now, if none of those other teams will give him the extra 3 or 4 years, then the White Sox are probably the front runner. But the Phillies ownership has actually said, we intend to spend stupid money in free agency.
Yeah.
So even if you don't like Philadelphia, if you want the money, That's the one you got to keep an eye on.
Would you give him a deal that had a 3-year opt-out? Because I don't think I would. I'd give him a 4-year maybe. But if you give him 3 and you don't get this thing turned quickly, all of a sudden you go, whoa, we're just ready to win and now you're opting out?
Well, that's a dangerous thing to do with any athlete, much less him. I mean, I think the White Sox in those 3 years are going to be not only knocking on the door, they might be banging the door down to win championships as long as their pitching stays healthy and it keeps – coming on the rise. You know what? That's a question to Jerry Reinsdorf and Jerry Reinsdorf only. It's not my money. I don't care what they do with it. It's his.
All right, let's move on to the Bulls. Wendell Carter Jr. played very well last night. And the good news is the Bulls lost in Portland as they continue that drive for a guy like Zion Williamson. Carter, very good. 22 points, 6 rebounds in the loss. Hub, I'm all in to tank this thing as hard as you possibly can. They should have done a better job with it last year, but this time you can't screw it up.
Well, you would think you can't. I just can't take Jim Boylan seriously. And I don't think he can screw it up. Maybe that's why they gave him the job. I don't know. But this is just a hard thing. I'm pulling for Pax so hard. I really like John Pax, and I don't know anything about Gar. And I'd love to see this work out so that he can claim he competed as hard as he could all year long and they still got one of those top 2 or 3 picks. That would be the ideal scenario. They may have too much young talent to be the second or third worst team in the league in spite of Jim Boylan.
100%. I think they're going to win some games that you don't want them and a lot of people don't want them to win. There's a lot of bad teams in the NBA who are honestly trying harder to lose games. I don't think the Bulls are trying to lose games. I think they're trying to see what they have and what they currently have on their roster, the 3, 4, or 5 guys that are part of the nucleus. They're going to win some games, Cap. They're not going to win many on this West Coast, if even any, to be honest with you. But once they come back and play some
teams
in the East.
They're not winning tomorrow night.
No, they're going to get their heads handed to them. And the game against Golden State was the beginning of the end, to be honest with you, for Fred Hoiberg, because it just went further
down. Well, what bothered me in that game was not that they lost and got blown out. It's that they didn't compete. They took the court terrified. And then when that kid, Thompson, hit 14 threes, nobody had the temerity. Nobody had the you-know-whats to go, dude, not on my watch. Sorry, and knock him down.
And that bothered management. I'll tell you that for a fact.
Yeah, Jim Boylan has trouble packing. He said he overpacked his coats. He doesn't pack enough ties. How can he work a rotation when he can't work his coats in his suitcase?
Concerning, Harry.
It is concerning. David Kaplan coach team, you know, you've got the right guys coming in on rotation, and you've also got the proper amount of ties per game.
What you do is you take 1 or 2 Blazers, different shirt, different tie, nobody knows.
Oh, Trailblazers?
There you go. There you go. This team, I know that everybody wants to go out and the players compete as hard as they can, but if there's a guy with the slightest, my ankles tweak, I'm sitting guys. I just am.
And that will happen. It happened at the end of last year. It'll happen again. Now, John Paxson told me personally, among others, that you know, they're not going to play the veteran players over the younger players, or excuse me, the younger players over the veteran players like they did last year. But that's why you're seeing some of the veteran players go out the door as quick as they're going to go.
Robin Lopez will be gone,
and somehow, some way, it doesn't really make a difference. But the rest of the veterans will be gone, too. It's all about the four or five guys that are currently on this roster. They need to see Dunn and Levine and Markkanen and Carter. But they'll lose plenty of games. Don't get me wrong. They'll be a lottery team. I don't think they're going to have anywhere near the worst record when it's all said and done.
All right. Nick Foles drove on the best defense in the NFL to pull off a stunner last week. Did St. Nick pull off another miracle to beat the Saints in the Superdome? With Hub's help, we'll preview a Bears-free divisional round next.
For monster coverage of the monsters of the Midway, download the My Teams app by NBC Sports. Keep the Bears at your fingertips every day of the week. Download the app today.
All right, will the Nick Foles magic end in New Orleans? There's the great throw that Leonard Floyd just about got. Golden Tate makes the catch in front of Sherrick McManus. Bears lose. Look at that. He changes his arm angle, goes down. He's about to throw over the top. It would have been probably batted down. All right, does Philadelphia have a chance?
No. I don't see it. You know, they went down there 7 weeks ago. New Orleans beat them 48-7. Maybe it won't be that bad. New Orleans was not playing its best football the last 3 or 4 weeks. The Eagles didn't really show you much when they came in here last week, other than that one touchdown drive in the fourth quarter. Nick Foles did not play all that well. That is a great throw to get the winning score. And they can't run the football. And New Orleans' defense isn't the Bears, but it is a top-five defense. And now you got to do it in the Dome. As much as Bears fans did a great job of creating a home field advantage, it's not like playing in the Dome.
I don't know about point spreads, but I'm going chalk this weekend. What, the road teams won 3 of the 4 games last week?
Correct.
I got the home teams winning.
The Colts beat the Chiefs.
I want to pick it. I do. I did that game last week. I had the Colts and the Texans. They are better than anybody knows. As a matter of fact, the Pro Football Weekly show is not on for a couple hours, so I can't say. But I think it's that close.
But tune in.
Do the Patriots go down?
Patriots go down hard. Phillip Rivers is a god. Phillip Rivers is a brilliant quarterback. Remember the year LT was hurt and Chargers won in Indy and they almost won in New England? So he's got a playoff victory in New England coming. I love the Colts offensive line and I love Phillip Rivers finally has receivers.
Does New England win?
I'm taking the Chargers. I'm questionable, but I'm taking them.
All right, guys, that's a wrap for Sports Talk Live presented by the Chevy Silverado. NHL hockey is next. Bruins and Capitals, have a great evening. See you tomorrow.
For Chicago Sports Talk with Sizzle, crank up the heat and turn on STL. Host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table every weeknight on the topics that are trending with our teams. Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado, weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.